Well, good morning, City Light. It's been one of those weeks, I guess, with just stuff in the news where you're kind of just everyone is just overtly aware of kind of the darkness that exists in our world today. Kind of like Tyler was saying, and that's why I'm so excited to be up here and speak with you guys today and get to talk a little bit, because I feel like when the people of God come together for the sole purpose of opening his word, of worshiping him, of getting to hear from him, like, he does something incredible. You know, my name is for Alex Marquez. For those of you guys who are new, I'm the director here of the high school ministry, City Light High, and I also function as kind of like an intern here at the church too. So what that means is I take a lot of trips to Aromas to get coffee for Tyler and JD. That's on my job description. But I also get to sit here, and I see a lot of the brokenness that's actually in a lot of our students that are just in this neighborhood. And one of the reasons why I'm just so excited to get up here and talk with you guys is because I think the Word of God today is important, because it's going to shed light on this conflict that we all feel. Okay, it's gonna shed light and open up like about this war, this conflict that's going on inside of all of us right now. And it's happening inside of you guys right now. There's a war going on and a battle happening in your souls right now. And I'm excited to get into this Word of God and to open it up and to have it shed some light on what's going on inside of our hearts and minds. So I'm just going to pray real quick, and then I'm going to hop into the Word. Lord God, thank you so much for this time, for these people that are here to just worship you. Like, we get to hear from your word this morning, God. And I just pray that you would be here, that you would be present, that you would be speaking, that you would just be awesome here in this place with us. That, God, I pray that you would shed insight into our lives and into our hearts, into what's going on in some of the dark places of our minds, and that we actually get to get up from this place changed and looking more like your son, Jesus Christ. I ask these things in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Yeah. So I've been on staff here at City Light for about 2 years now. Okay, and I can honestly say it's been some of the best 2 years of my life. I actually got engaged to just a smoking hot girl who's sitting right here on the front row. She's way too attractive for me. Anyone who's seen her and me, like, knows that to be true. I've also gotten to start and kind of like pioneer the high school ministry here. And that's been incredible, man. I've gotten to see high school students with no church background, really minimal family involvement, come to know and love Jesus Christ. And, like, they're first generation Christians popping up that are gonna change the entire trajectory of, like, their family tree. And that's been awesome. Like, that's been so fun for me to get to be a part of. But one of the coolest things that I've gotten to be a part of in my, like, 2 years here in Omaha was I was in this really insanely unique living situation just about 3 months ago. It was like a movement, really. It's called the Manplex, okay? I don't know where you lived post-college, but it didn't have as cool a name as the Manplex, okay? This place was awesome. We had like 11 guys, no exaggeration, 11 dudes crammed into one house. Okay, we had, seriously, at points, sheets just hanging from the walls and the ceilings in our basement, because we ran out of rooms in our house. We just had everyone piled in the basement. By the time we were done with our lease, man, we had mold in the basement. That's a health hazard. We had holes in our ceilings and in our walls, okay, because all of us were broke that lived in this house. We had to just, anyone who needed a place to stay, we just say, okay, throw them in the basement. It's going to knock like 20 bucks off our rent. So we had tons of people living in this house and living and doing life together. And about 6 months ago, you know, I'm still living at the Manplex, okay? And I get in my car. It's really early in the morning. I'm going to work out with a buddy of mine, Collins. And I'm backing out down my driveway. And I look to the right, and I see a car accident, like right on the corner. You know, it wasn't anything crazy. I think just the car got rear-ended. But I just thought to myself, you know, that dude's going to have a bad day. Like, it doesn't matter what else happens to him that day. If you start your morning off with a car accident, that's going to be a rough day. You might as well just, like, turn around, go back inside, go to bed, say, I'm going to try again tomorrow. Okay, I'm over this. Okay, and as I'm thinking this, as I'm backing out, my head, like, jerks back, and I hear glass break. And I look behind me, and I've smashed into my neighbor's car. I'm looking at a car accident, and I get into a car accident. It's like the worst start to a day ever, and I'm just thinking, man, this is going to be a bad day. And so, like, right after this glass breaks, something happens in my mind. You know, it's like one of those moments where, you know, only like a second goes by in real time, but like a million different scenarios play out in your mind. You're like, okay, like, do I run? Do I just, like, get out of here right now and drive away? You know, like, I don't think anyone saw me. It's really early in the morning. I bet I could just drive away right now. But then I thought, dude, well, what if somebody did see me? You know, what if I get caught? Is getting a hit and run a felony? You know, like, will I get fired from the church? Probably. Your youth pastor can't be hitting and running. Like, that just doesn't happen, you know? And so I thought, well, there's also 10 guys who live in my house. I can probably blame it on one of them. You know, like, there's a bunch, all these different things kind of ran through my mind, and there was this wrestle inside of me. Man, do I stay? Do I take responsibility? Or do I just get out? Do I leave? No one will know. And after about what felt like this 15 minutes of, it wasn't 15 minutes, it's probably like a couple seconds, but this intense internal battle, I decide, you know what, okay. I went in my book bag, took out a piece of paper, and wrote, hey man, you know, sorry, I hit your car, I live right across the street, I have insurance, here's my number. And I put, just give me a call, my name is Andrew Rutten. It was awesome. But seriously though, I did put my name on it. Actually, I did. I owned up to it. But what was that in me? You know, what was that tension that I felt? You know, because I knew the right thing to do. I just didn't want to do it. You know, I felt this war, this battle going on inside of me. And at that moment, man, I wasn't worried about my neighbor. You know, I wasn't worried about his car and ruining his day. I was worried about my money. I was worried about my insurance rates going up. I was worried about how this accident was going to affect me. You know, I knew the right thing to do, but man, it was really hard to do it. It was so hard to do it. You know, and then the worst part about that was, like, when I left, I felt like, even though I did the right thing, that it was the wrong thing to do. You know, I'm just thinking the whole time I'm driving away, like, dude, I could have gotten away with that. Like, that would have been totally fine. You know, I felt this tension over, man, do I do the right thing that I know, like, I should do and that God is calling me to do? Or do I kind of just follow my gut reaction, you know? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt that tension inside of you? Like, you know exactly what it is that God's calling you to do. You have no doubts about what God is calling you to do, but it just feels impossible to actually do it. Like, everything in you wants to do the opposite of what God is calling you to do. You know, why is that tension even there? Like, what is that thing? I thought I was supposed to be a Christian and not even desire, like, those bad things anymore. You know, why am I contemplating committing a felony hit and run? You know, why can I be in here worshiping with you guys at like 10 o'clock, and by 12 o'clock, if one of you guys cuts me off in traffic, I'm ready to get out and throw bows. You know, that's just 2 hours, right? Why is that there? And so this morning, we're going to hop into the text, and I'm really excited to get into it, because I think that the text this morning is going to really shed some light on what that tension is and what that war is going on inside of. So let me tell you why this morning matters, okay? So this morning matters because this internal battle that we all feel is nothing new, all right? If you're a Christian in this room, you are in a war. You are going through a war, a battle right now. And it's nothing new. The people of God have been going through this for thousands of years. There's a conflict inside you between the Spirit of God that is in you and the flesh of your old man. And today, we're just going to see what that looks like. We're going to kind of flush that out. We're going to see 3 things this morning. We're going to see, number 1, what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. Number 2, we're going to identify the works of the flesh. And number 3, we're going to see what it looks like to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. So Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, this is what God says. He says, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the very things that you want to do. So guys, the Bible just said here that if you are a Christian, there is a war going on inside of you. There are these two forces inside of you locked inside of a battle. Okay, you've got the Spirit of God, the capital S Spirit of God, and you've got your flesh. You've got this dual nature inside you. One of these things, the Spirit of God, is going to push you towards godliness. It's going to push you towards the things that God wants for you. It's going to push you towards holiness and the things that will fulfill you, namely Jesus. Okay, and then you've got this other thing in you called the flesh. And that's going to push you towards these evil desires, these evil wants. You're going to want and desire things that are bad for you. Like, you will at times desire sin. And so what Paul is talking about in this section is he's saying, man, he's charging the Christians in Galatia to walk in the Spirit, like to actively walk and keep in step with the Spirit. So what that means to me, though, is that there will be some times when we walk out of step with the Spirit. Like, there will be times when I'm walking completely in my flesh. And what that means is there are times when I want horrible things. What that means is the person that I need to be most concerned with is not out there in the world somewhere. It's not any of you guys in this room. It's not even the devil or demons or anything like that. The person I need to be most concerned with blowing up my life is me. No one has the ability to train wreck or blow up my life like I do. Okay? The flesh inside me is going to want evil things, and we are either going to walk according to the Spirit, or we are going to walk according to our flesh. And Paul is using this metaphor here of walk because it's not, like, you can't passively walk, okay? Like, you have to sit and choose to walk, okay? Walking is an active thing. And right now, like, you know, the Spirit of God is going to be telling us, if we are a Christian, the Spirit of God is going to be revealing sin in our lives. It is going to be revealing patterns, things that we need to get rid of in our hearts and in our minds. But we actually have to walk in those. Like, we actually have to do something about that sin. Like, it's not a passive thing. You cannot passively walk in the Spirit. It's a choice that we make, whether or not I'm going to pursue the things of God or whether I'm not. So I just have to ask you this morning, are you walking in the Spirit, or are you letting your flesh lead you? Are you actively pursuing the things of God, or are you just coasting? Because, man, if this hour and a half on Sunday morning is the only time you get to hear from God, is the only time you're pursuing the Lord, then the rest of the time we're walking in our flesh. You know, it is not a natural thing for us to be in the Spirit. It's not. We have to pursue God by pursuing holiness. We do that by getting in the Word outside of here. We do that by prayer, our prayer life, communing, talking with God. You get to talk to God. Like, He gets to hear from you. We do that by confessing our sin and our fleshly desires. We get in trouble when we start to act like we don't have any flesh anymore. Okay? So, like, man, are you walking in the Spirit? It is an active command. Paul says, Christian, walk in the Spirit because there's a war going on inside of you. Okay? Will we walk in the Spirit? So now Paul is going to transition us into kind of identifying these works of the flesh. Okay? And there's a long list of kind of like of works of the flesh on that page. I'm gonna read them for us, starting in verse 18. It says, But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19, now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, dissension, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. So there's a lot of works of the flesh, okay, that we kind of got to work through. But most of those scholars, they kind of divide these up into four categories, okay? So the works of the flesh are in these four categories, okay? So you have, number one, you have sexual sins, okay? Number two, you have religious sins. Number three, we have relational sins. And number four, we have sins of fulfillment, okay? So sexual sins, relational sins, sexual sins, religious sins, relational sins, and sins of fulfillment. That first group is just those first three words. So sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality, okay? So those three terms are kind of just like blanket statements for sexual immorality, right? For anything that's outside of sex between a man and a woman inside the covenant of marriage, right? It's lust, pornography, sexual activity outside of marriage. And what your flesh is going to tell you about this grouping of sins is, man, listen, God's commands, God's laws, God's rules around sex are too hard. They're too harsh. They don't really apply to you. If God knew this situation, if God knew your situation, like, he'd be cool with it. Like he'd be fine with this. This doesn't really apply to you. You know, so don't even worry about what God's laws around this are. And the Spirit is going to say, wait. Let me think about this a second. Who created sex? God did. Thank you, Brock. Okay, who created sex? God did. So God is a fan of sex, right? Like, he's not opposed to sex, right? He loves us and wants us to have the best sex. And he's going to say, no. The reason why I put parameters around sex is not to take from you. Like, it's not to rob you, but it's to lead you into something better. It is to lead you into like the fullness, the way I designed it to work. So the flesh is going to tell you, man, God's laws around sex, dude, they're too hard, they're too harsh. And the Spirit is going to tell you, no, I'm trying to lead you into the fullness of life here. But it's hard to believe that because there's a war going on inside you. There's conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. The second grouping of sins is we have religious sins, okay? So it says idolatry and sorcery, okay? So I know you might think of that, look at that and go, dude, are there a lot of sorcerers in here? Like, is there a lot of like witchcraft? Is that happening? So the whole thing is, I mean, there is kind of out there somewhere, but most of the stuff that Paul's talking about here is what we've been flushing out for the last couple of weeks, which is just legalism, right? It's trying to get from God, like by your actions. It's trying to say, God, I'm going to do these good things, therefore you have to bless me. And your flesh is going to say, that's how this works. Like, that's how your relationship with God works, is you do good things and God does good things for you. If you behave, God is going to bless you and give you, and you're going to be happy and healthy and wealthy and nothing bad is ever going to happen to you. Like, that's what the Galatians thought. They thought, man, if I follow the law, if I do all the right things, if I follow the Jewish customs, you know, and fulfill the law, then God will bless me. And Paul's saying, no, that's not how it is at all. Your flesh is going to say, I need to do these things so that God will bless me. And the Spirit of God is going to say, that's not how this works. You do not get to put God into your debt by being a good person. You can't do good things so that God owes you anything. Everything you have that is good is because God has given it to you. It's by sheer grace that the Lord has blessed you with everything you have. And the Spirit is going to tell you that's how it's going to continue to play out. Everything you have is a gift from God. And the flesh is going to tell you, I need to do good things in order to receive blessings. The Spirit is going to say, that's not how this works. But it's a battle and a struggle to believe that because we're at war. There's a war raging inside of us. The third category here is relational sins. So you have enmity. And this is by the biggest list because we sin against each other a lot. So relational sins. So you have enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, divisions, dissensions, and envy. So now what the flesh is going to tell you about our relationship with everyone else is that other people are our competition. Like, other people are our enemies, right? Like, they're our competition for the things that we want. So instead of looking to serve our brothers and sisters, we enter into competition with them. So we get jealous when they have something that we don't have because we can't be happy for them in our spirit because we see them as competition. Like, they have something that I don't have and I want it, right? Like, our flesh turns friendships into rivalries. That jealousy then explodes into anger and destroys relationships.
The flesh is going to say that other people are your competition, but the spirit is going to say, no, you are to love and serve your brothers and sisters. Like they're not your competition. You already have everything that you need in Jesus Christ. So you can be happy when they achieve. You can be happy when they are receiving blessings. You can rejoice with them when they rejoice because you have everything you need in Jesus Christ. So the spirit is going to say, rejoice. The flesh is going to say, get envious, man. Get mad. Get jealous because that person has what you don't have. The spirit's going to say, you already have everything you need in Jesus. But it's hard for us to believe that, right? It's hard for us to walk in that because, what? There's a war. There's a war going on inside you. I'm trying to get this in your guys' head, man. There's a war in us. And this last category is fulfillment sins, okay? So the Bible says in this last final category, we have drunkenness and orgies and things like these. Now, at first glance, you might look at, you know, like orgies and say, well, that belongs up there with like the sexual sins and everything like that. But what the text is trying to communicate is that there are these things that we give ourselves over to in order to find fulfillment in them, right? Like, you know, we give ourselves over to drunkenness to try to find a release, to try to find peace or an escape. Right, we give ourselves over to these sexual relationships so that we can feel love, so that we can find this peace and feel affirmed. But man, the Bible right here is going to say, and you are not going to be able to find your fulfillment in that. That you are not, that's not going to bring you happiness. And the biggest problem with these sins, like why they're so rampant, I think, in every society and culture that's ever existed, is because sex and alcohol can provide a little bit of release. Like, I mean, it just can. Like, you can get drunk and forget about your problems. You can have random hookups and feel love. But the thing is, like, after you come back from those things, your problems are still there. You know, after you, you know, if you get drunk to escape your problems, when you wake up the next morning hungover, that problem is still there, right? The loneliness that drove you to hook up with that random person, you know, it's still going to be there after you come back, but it's probably going to be worse. You know, there is a little bit of release. There is a little bit of peace. There is a little bit of fulfillment and happiness there, but it's fleeting. And that's where we fall into this trap, okay? There's more fulfillment. There is more peace and more joy in Jesus Christ. Man, the flesh is going to tell us that we need to get drunk in order to find peace. We need to find our affirmation in the opposite sex. We need to find it, he says, in things like these. We can find it in work. We can find it in working out. We can find it in eating. We can find it in our jobs. We can find affirmation anywhere we want. But the thing is, the Spirit is going to say, you find all of that in Jesus. Amen. Everything that you need, the thing that you're looking for, that fill that hole in your life is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So man, we find peace to our anxiety in the cross. We find the cure to our loneliness in the God who satisfies, but that's really hard for us to believe because we're in a war. There is a war raging inside of us between the Spirit of God and the flesh. The flesh that's gonna whisper lies to you and say, that's not where life is found. It's found over here. And the Spirit of God is going to say, no, come this way into fullness of life. Those are the works of the flesh. And now Paul, in the second half of verse 21 here, is going to give us a warning for those who are practicing here in the works of the flesh. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, what does that mean? That's a scary verse, right? Because, especially because if I'm looking at that works of the flesh, like, I've pretty much done everything on that, you know, except for the orgies one. That hasn't happened. But, just being real. Just trying to be transparent up here, okay? What does that mean? What is this trying to tell us, okay? I think what this means, this warning that Paul is going to give us, for those who practice such things. It's not for those of us who've like slipped and fallen into this sin. You know, the whole point of this section, the whole point of the book of Galatians is Paul pleading with the people saying, hey, Christianity is not about what you do, but it's about what Jesus has done. You know, it's not about your good works. It's not about your good behavior, but it's about Jesus who's accomplished all of that for you. Okay? But you know, Christians, we're not perfect. We fall. We walk out of step with the Spirit, you know? Like, we just know this. I mean, you look at anyone in the Old Testament, they've got some huge character flaw in them. Like, David, man, slept with another man's wife and then had him murdered, you know? You look at Peter, he denied Jesus to his face, man. Like, we fall into these horrible sins. But I think what the true kind of test of a Christian is, man, what do we do when we fall into those sins? Like, what do we do when we fall in really hard ways and when we walk in our flesh, you know? Now the question is, like, do we continue in them when our anger and our jealousy and our sensuality, when that's brought to our attention, do we indulge in that flesh? Do we just say, forget it, I'm just going to walk in this anyways? Or do we say, man, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give that to the Lord and ask that he does something different in my life. I'm going to ask that he takes this away. Jesus, I want to repent. Get this out of my heart. You know, there's just a test, man, with the Christian is, man, how do we respond to our sin? That lets us know whether or not we're inside or outside of the family of God, of the kingdom of God. These are evidence. These are fruits, right, that we have been saved. You know, we don't turn and fight our sin for our salvation. We fight our sin because we're saved. We fight our sin because God has saved us, okay? Paul gives us this warning here about those who practice those who practice the works of the Spirit. And then he moves on and goes to describe the fruit of the Spirit starting in verse 23. He says, hold on a second. Okay, here we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, every commentator ever, so people who are just way, way smarter than me, they like to point out that the works of the flesh is plural and the work of the Spirit is singular, okay? And that's significant for us for two reasons, okay? Number one, it's significant because it can be said that, like, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the following eight things are just kind of the outworkings of love. Like, it's like, that's what love looks like in action, you know? So the person, the Christian who's growing in love is going to be growing in joy. They're going to be growing in peace and patience and kindness and self-control. Like, the transformation of the Holy Spirit is holistic. Like, these are not checklist items to see, okay, am I growing in gentleness today? Am I growing in self-control? That one sucks, but this one's like, okay. Okay, so no, the Holy Spirit, the fruit of that is love. And you continue to grow in those as they work out and play themselves out in your lives. The second thing that this shows us is this metaphor of fruit reveals something that's kind of disheartening about Christianity, and that's a little bit frustrating, because do fruits grow fast or slow?
Slow.
Slow, thank you. Brock, thank you, dude. Appreciate it. Okay, fruits grow slow. Transformation and growth in the Christian life is slow a lot of the times, man. We don't see it happening right in front of our face. Most of the time, we don't see growth until we're on the other side of like a temptation or a trial, and we think, dude, 2 years ago, I would have never responded like that. You know, when I think about backing up into my neighbor's car, you know, I'm not saying that's ever happened before. I'm not saying that's ever happened before. But I just think, man, in high school, I would have never responded that way. There's no way I'm going to get out and put a note under my neighbor's windshield to let them know what happened. You know, so I just saw that. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. Like, the Spirit is working. He's changing. He's growing. And I know that's happened in your life, too. You've seen that. You know, on the other side of a trial, you just said, man, I can't believe I responded that way. That's awesome. God is like doing something in my life. And I know others of us in this room, man, we're frustrated because it seems like it's taking forever. No, you've got the same sin that's just beating you down and beating you down and beating you down. And you're frustrated that God's not doing something right now to take that out of your life. But man, Christian growth is slow. And we're after progress here. We're not after perfection. You don't get perfection on this side of eternity. Okay, you get perfection later. That comes later. Okay? Like, I know you're not as far along as you want to be, but praise God, you're not who you once were. Right? Like, that's what I'm talking about. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Okay? Paul summarizes, so Paul gives us the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Guys, and just remember, guys, do not be discouraged. Christian growth is slow. There's nothing wrong with you. Okay? You may not be as far along as you want to be, but you're not who you once were. Okay, so Paul, he summarizes his last thought, his thoughts from this final section of scripture, and he ends it kind of the same way that he began, with an appeal for us to walk in the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, starting in verse 24. So he says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. The scripture says, for those who belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Man, I know so many of us in here, in this room right now today, we belong to Christ. You know, you know that you belong to Christ, that God is making you more and more holy, that the grip of the flesh is becoming less and less, and you are growing and you are becoming more and more like Jesus. And praise God, that's amazing. But there are also some of us in this room that do not belong to Christ. There are those of us in this room that maybe, like, we come to church sometimes. There's some of us in this room that maybe know a couple verses, or we think like we're a good person, but we don't actually belong to Christ. And Paul is saying, man, if that's you, like if that's where you're at, he's like, man, you're still a slave to your sin. Like you're still a slave to all these things that will kill you. You're still a slave to your flesh. That doesn't have to be you. He's saying, man, if you right now, you can have the Spirit of God inside you. You can ask him, God, would you come? Would you fill my life? Would you change and transform my flesh? Would you get this stuff out of me, man? Okay, Spirit, will you come? Will you transform that lust that's in my heart and you make it love? God, would you take this rivalry and envy and dissension and would you turn that into friendship? Would you turn this enslavement that I feel to the same sins, to the same addictions over and over again. God, would you free me from that? He's offering that right now to anyone who would ask it. Like you can ask to have the Spirit of God in you. And will you give up and will you welcome Jesus into your life today? And then, man, for those of us who belong to Christ that are in this room, praise God. Like, that's awesome. And I want, yeah, it's fantastic. Thank you. And, but man, I want to encourage you guys, for those of us who belong to Christ, to walk in the Spirit. You know, the same thing that Paul has charged us to do this entire book, man, is to walk in the Spirit, right? It's not a passive thing that God has called you to. Like, we're in a war right now. Like, me and you and everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ is in a war. You're going to either walk in the flesh or you're going to walk in the Spirit. And I just want to continue and encourage us to please, man, walk in the Spirit, man. It's an incredible gift that God has given you. He's actually put his Spirit that created the universe, that lights up the sky, that created our bodies, right? That tells dead people they're not allowed to be dead anymore. He put that Spirit inside of you. So Christian, you're not a slave to sin. You're not, you have the Spirit of God in you. You can do anything. You don't have to be enslaved to that website. You don't have to be enslaved to gossip, to slander. You don't have to be jealous. You don't like, those things can be killed by walking in the Spirit, man. The Spirit of God is in you, and it is an active command that we would walk in the Spirit. And man, again, I never want us to be confused that, man, okay, if I don't walk in the spirit, like I'm not saved, if I'm not actively, you know, fighting my sin, like if I'm just giving, if I'm failing, like does that mean God doesn't love me or I'm not a Christian? No. You know, we do not fight our sin so that God will love us. Like what JD always says, do we plant a church in Benson so that God will save us? No. Like we don't. We do not fight our sin so that God will love us. We fight our sin and we strive to walk in the Spirit because he does. Jesus loves you right now. Would you walk in the Spirit? There's a war going on inside you. But Jesus has already won.